A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G,
yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Every mistake against this defense is costly. And that's in the pass and the run game. You get loose with the ball in the run game, they make you pay. And there's been a number of fumbles that have been on the ground this year also. So that's really big for us. Just our emphasis this whole week has been protect the ball and how intentional we have to be in doing that.
That's Bobby Slowick, Texans offensive coordinator, talking about the thing the Texans need to do the most Sunday in Green Bay against the Packers. Wrap it up. Protect yourself. The Packers lead the NFL in takeaways, and C.J. Stroud has turned the football over about as much as he did last year through just six games. Just one turnover shy. It's an opportunistic team. It's a team that's very good bombing the ball downfield with play action, going up against the Texans defense that is one of the worst in the NFL against play action. I got a bad feeling about this game. If you want to talk me into feeling better about the Texans, you can try. I don't think you're going to be able to do it. It's the fourth toughest game for this team all year. And while I think that the Packers, Texans, and Bills are all in the same tier, it's one thing to play this game at home against Buffalo. It's another thing entirely to do it against a guy in Jordan Love on the road who has thrown for four touchdown passes his last two games. First time a Packers quarterback has done that since Brett Favre. And I mean, they had Aaron Rodgers there in between the two of them. So Love is back to 100% after that injury he suffered in Brazil on that awful, terrible field the first game of the year against the Eagles. Now, some of the people listening, I imagine you're actually going to go to Green Bay, Wisconsin. I mean, man, it's just a town. It's got a lot going on. That's why it's going to get the NFL draft. Did you hear about this?
Is it really?
The next year's NFL draft is in Green Bay. Yeah, man.
2025?
The 2025 NFL draft.
Oh,
it's God. In Green Bay. Whoa. There's lots of things to do in Green Bay, man.
Can't believe Shedeur Sanders is going to have to go to Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Well, do you think he's actually going to go?
I can't believe Travis Hunter. Oh, you mean like, yeah, he'll be invited to go. I don't know if he'll follow through.
There are some things to do there. Like, for example, you can go to the Ashwaubenon Museum of History and Culture.
Okay. Is that, I'm guessing, a tribe culture?
No, it's just a museum.
Oh.
It features a popular exhibit of tramp and hobo art.
Huh.
I want to know what tramp art is, from what I understand.
Yeah.
I thought tramp means hoe. Lady and the tramp.
Yeah, normally the tramp art I see is on a lower back.
Hmm. Maybe tramp means derelict, right? Because it does say it's a tramp and hobo
Yeah,
art.
Maybe like Lady and the Tramp.
Hmm.
Kind of thing.
Something like that. Well, yeah, because the tramp, that's what I mean. That's the only thing I've heard that used in. And the tramp in Lady and the Tramp
is the boy dog.
But he's like a homeless stray dog.
Yeah, he's a beatnik.
Yeah. Well, I've never heard that term used before.
I don't even know if I used it right.
Other things to do in Green Bay, Wisconsin. There's the National Railroad Museum.
Okay.
That's a big deal.
Okay, so hobos and railroads.
Yeah. They go hand in hand.
They go together. Is that how that's how everyone ends up in Green Bay?
Either
you're on the Packers or you're a hobo in a train car.
There's Grand Design RV. If you're an RV enthusiast.
All right. Another thing that you can live in that isn't a home.
There's the Family Shooting Academy. I think they need to work on the title.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd work on that.
The picture of it shows like a man. A child.
Smiling with a gun.
No. It's like the
American Gothic.
No, it's like the things that you would see on a restroom sign, and there's three of them. There's a man, there's a woman, and a child, and they're all shooting a gun.
Okay.
It's a great logo. The Family Shooting Academy of Green Bay, Wisconsin.
You want to shoot your family? I mean, shoot with your family?
They should have thought about the title. They should have thought about Family Shooting Academy, serving Green Bay, the Fox Valley, and Northeast Wisconsin with the area's only public indoor shooting range. If you've never picked up a gun, just need training to receive a concealed carry permit. If you need a place to practice or you're a seasoned competition shooter, we have a place for you at Family Shooting Academy.
Again.
Doesn't really say anything about the kids. It doesn't say anything at all.
What do you think you're shooting at? Never mind.
I got to say, I don't trust children with guns. I don't want kids at the Family Shooting Academy.
That's a very controversial take. You know, I don't think kids should have guns.
I don't trust them. I'm just saying what everybody's thinking here. What else is there to do in Green Bay, Wisconsin? Ooh, this sounds like a lot of fun if you're going to Texans Packers. This is a lot of fun. Have you ever thought about this? You could do, I can't believe this is real, Dinner Detective Green Bay. America's largest interactive comedy true crime mystery dinner is now playing in Green Bay. Solve a hilarious mystery while you feast on a fantastic dinner. Just beware, the culprit is hiding in plain sight somewhere in the room, and you may find yourself as a prime suspect before you even know it.
I could never do that.
Hey, man, it's very different from traditional true crime mystery dinner shows.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
This is Green Bay, Wisconsin's finest. And look, they got the arts. They got a theater there. They got a couple of comedy troupes.
Like
Daddy D Productions. Daddy D Productions started as a group of friends with a simple idea. Good music, good friends, good food, and good, clean humor.
I forgot. This all has to be so family-oriented.
It's the Midwest. It's a family town.
Whether it's the comedy or the guns, it has to be family
first. It's all family.
Family first.
Since 2006, they've been bringing music and friends together. This is Green Bay, Wisconsin, the home of the 2025 NFL Draft.
Can we go back to the dinner mystery murder thing?
No, like, dude, why?
I cannot think of something I would like less. I just want my food.
A full plate. It's dinner.
Cool.
There's plenty of surprises during the show.
I'm guessing it's all casseroles. It's all different.
No, it's just some brats.
Okay. Mix in some
brat pie. Let's go.
And then I have to play real life Clue. Is that it?
Yeah. What's wrong with that? There's also the National Shrine of Our Lady of Champion. It's the first and only site in the United States approved by the Roman Catholic Church as an apparition site of the Blessed Virgin Mary.
Okay.
Because cool. As the story goes, Adele Breeze was born in Belgium and moved to a Belgian settlement near Green Bay in the early 1850s. And in 1859, after several documented appearances around the world, Mary visited Adele, not the artist.
I know. That's very confusing.
In the wooded area of her farm, asking her to pray for poor sinners and teach the young children. Maybe CJ goes there. You could go there before the game.
Yeah. God made sure Adele started from day one.
Mm-hmm. There's a water park there in Green Bay. You could do that.
I'm sure it's an indoor water park.
Yeah, if you're more of a professional indoor football fan, there's the Green Bay Blizzard. They got a team.
That's got to be tough to be the other game in town.
Hey, but at least you're in a town with football, and people are going there for football, and it's the offseason.
But to be like, I'm a football player in Green Bay.
No,
Packers?
No, that's great. You can lie. I lie on the dating apps. Professional football player. So there you go, guys. Those are all the fun things to do in Green Bay, Wisconsin. So if you're going there for Sunday's Texans-Packers game, I hope you took notes. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. You can join on Twitch at ESPN975. You can join on YouTube at ESPN Houston. You can tweet at Gallant Says, at Sean A. Mapes, behind the glass. You can also ask me anything because it's an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. No Joe, just me. A lot of people are saying they feel good about the Texans because I don't. Okay, that's fair. Fade me. A texter asks, how many cases of baby oil do you buy at Costco?
Good
trick question. They don't sell it there.
As we've learned.
We learned that.
Trust us.
We're on top of where to get your baby oil here, okay? What else do we have? Paul, what's one Southern tradition you've decided to refrain from? I don't care for mud bugs, writes Zach Crawfish. I refrain from saying that the Civil War was about states' rights because no one ever completes that sentence. The people that say the Civil War is about states' rights. States' rights to what? Oh, slavery?
Different things.
Yeah.
Trade deals.
So I've never done that. I have appropriated a lot of things, though. I have definitely taken the word y'all into the
lexicon. That's what I was going to ask. I was like, off the top of my head, I don't know if you're a y'all guy or not.
100%. It's so much easier to say. Once you say it a few times.
Yeah.
And I had a friend in college who was from Georgia, so I was around him a lot. Okay. So it was a nice, seamless transition. So there you go. You can ask me anything. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. Texans Packers on Sunday. What is it that the Texans do best? And please help me feel better about this game for the Texans, because I got a bad feeling about this one. It is Gallant and George, no JoJo's. Paul, stay put.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Gallant and George, no Joe, just Paul. You want to jump in, 713-780-3776 to call, to text. You can also join on Twitch at ESPN 975 or on YouTube as well. From the 713, hey, Paul, as a Texans fan, I think we're all on edge and unsteady. There's no calm, cool collective about it. You can look in Stroud's face and see some type of uncertainty in his eyes. What? I never get that from Stroud. Another texter says, two letters for you, Paul. CJ. He's going to Superman us to a victory. Texas Swarm! Sorry, that was a quick one,
yeah,
Sean.
That was quick. Too quick.
Another texter from the 409. Gotten a couple of these today, and honestly, F you. I feel good about the Texans because you don't. Hey! That hurts my feelings.
I don't know. I mean, other than the Bills game, I don't know how many you've been wrong on.
I mean, look, I thought that game would be close, and they won at the end. I'm not saying that actually I was right. I'm not doing that. But that was a game where, even though they played well,
yeah,
they did a lot of the sloppy things that they had been doing. It's a step in the right direction. I think you should be happy with the win for sure.
They're great in the first half.
Right, they were. They got to figure out how to do this, though, for a full game.
Yeah.
They got the best red zone offense in the NFL. They just got to get into the red zone. And in a game like this, are you going to stop giving up big plays against a team that loves to bomb it downfield? And are you actually going to have success running the football after yet another week where, for the most part, you struggled, but you had 250-plus yard runs, and at the end of the day, it looks really good? These are the questions I have. Bobby Sloak's your offensive coordinator, and I got to say, not the biggest Bobby Sloak fan. It's not to say that I think he's bad or anything like that, but I feel like he has been put on a pedestal because of the quarterback that he works with, and I think sometimes he gets in his own way by either getting too cutesy or with a running game that seems to be done just for the sake of doing it as opposed to done with any sort of action. And one of the things that you're going to be really frustrated seeing on Sunday is the Matt LaFleur version of this.
Yes.
Because the Packers and the teams that really are cooking on offense, the Lions, they make every play look the same, where you don't really get that with the Texans and their running game versus their passing game. Like, that's why McVay's offense works and all these offshoots work. Shanahan as well. Everything looks exactly the same until it doesn't. And you're not there. And it's, I think, a pretty clear discrepancy between those. And a Texans team that has been giving up big plays, that's down Jimmy Ward and down Kamari Lassiter with D'Angelo Ross, who played very well last week, being asked to do a lot of things. That's why I got a bad feeling about this. This isn't just a, the Texans, classic Texans kind of vibe. Mm-hmm. No, I think this is a bad matchup and you're on the road.
Yeah, yeah. I and it is interesting with Sloak. He seems like really the only, unless I'm forgetting one, he seems like the only 49ers McVay tree guy who just like has not figured out a run game whatsoever.
Yeah, really. And I mean, the numbers for last week's game against the Patriots, bottom five in success rate. I don't know how they get that, but did feel that way. Top 10 in stuff rate. And they ran for 200 plus yards.
I don't need to know what goes into stuff rate to know that's not good.
And you also don't need to know what goes into stuff rate to think, oh yeah, that sounds right, because that seems to happen a lot.
It is very much, we talk about it a lot, the numbers and the eye test working together.
Yeah.
we're like, some of these analytics, you're like, I 100% buy that based off of what I see.
What are the Texans currently best at? They win on Sunday if they get a lot of sacks. That's what they're best at right now. Weirdly, it's not even their offense. They're best at getting after the quarterback. When they are in their bag, if you will, they will swarm all over the opposition. You saw it against the Bears. Like, that's the best they've looked all year. Their defense against Chicago in that game. Flying around, killing people, and it never felt in doubt. Where against Buffalo and against Jacksonville and against Indianapolis, a more accurate quarterback probably beats them. And Love's more accurate. He does have his issues with accuracy for sure, but he's not on the level of those guys. Lawrence loves overthrowing balls. Anthony Richardson, I don't know what's going to happen half the time when he throws it. Got a cannon, that's for sure. And Josh Allen played his worst game against you. Probably his worst game ever, which is saying something because he's had some rough ones, not only in college, but at the pro level.
I'll say his worst game since he's been good, definitely. There might be a rookie year Josh Allen that's like, ugh. But he was like, what, 9 for 30? Something like that? That's bad.
I remember once, this is when I was back at the flagship, and there was a job opening in Portland, Oregon. And I did a segment to send as a tape to this station where I watched the Ducks game against Josh Allen in Wyoming.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And I laughed at how bad he was in that game. Wyoming actually played well. Everyone on Wyoming played well except for Josh Allen. And in that moment right there, I was like, this guy sucks. He's a bust for sure. And I felt pretty good about that his first year, especially remember that Texans playoff game where he's running downfield. He's just lateraling for no reason. He's chucking it into triple coverage downfield to an effing fullback.
Yeah, that was the end of year two for him.
Right.
And so, and then the 2020 offseason, they trade for Stephon Diggs. And he's a different guy.
They get Daboll
in 2020. Yeah, they get Daboll too. It's not 100% Diggs, but they get Diggs.
Everything,
they get Daboll.
And now all of a sudden, totally different guy.
Now it's like top two.
100%. All right. So that's what the Texans are going to have to do to win on Sunday. They're going to have to get after Jordan Love, and they're going to have to stop the play action fake. Jordan Love, for what it's worth, 28th in the NFL in QBR against the Blitz. So send the house.
Yeah.
I don't know the worst.
I don't know if they're as aggressive with it as they were with Caleb.
Yeah, that's, you can't really do that. But that said, I mean, the Bears were missing some guys too, I think, in that game offensively, because DeAndre Carter was like their leading receiver or something.
Yeah, Allen was out. Allen was out. Their offensive line just stinks. And they have Shane Waldron. I honestly think, and this is something I think you mentioned in the first segment, or maybe it was the second segment, with the why I don't know if D'Amico is going to be as blitz heavy, a lot of it, it's less about the offensive line. It's more about the difference between the play caller being Shane Waldron and Matt LaFleur, think you can just do the blitz them until they make you stop.
Right.
I think LaFleur is more likely to be like, okay, they're going to blitz. Let me find out a way to beat it, more so than the Bears in week two.
To be fair, though, hasn't worked to this point this year, even as good as LaFleur is at drawing things up. And that's where it falls on the quarterback. And Love doesn't seem to be very good under pressure this year, and he does turn the football over, always has. But he's got balls, and he'll throw the football down the field, and the Texans are bad against that. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. You can join on YouTube at ESPN Houston or on Twitch at ESPN 975. It's an Ask Alon Anything Friday. This is a fun question. Paul, what is the gayest thing you have ever done? Wow. All right, well, we'll answer this question. So my sophomore year of college, I was trying to get the number of somebody at a house party. And I was with my friend, and this person said, I will give you my number if you kiss this man on the lips, my friend. So I kissed my man on the lips. Thanks, Sam. Got that number.
Boom.
Then I made out with that girl a little bit later.
There you go. But one for one.
But you know, the act to get to the second act, some would call that, yeah.
It's definitely not the straightest thing you've done.
Not the straightest.
So.
No, it's not. Definitely not. So there you go, guys. That's as far as your boy's gone. Paul, no way. You're the gayest. A lot of people think that. Clearly on Wednesday. And if you didn't listen to Wednesday's show, on Wednesday, not only did I have a man hit on me very hard, I also had somebody ask me why I was single. I was like, oh, are you gay? It was like this third question.
That's so funny. Because you don't have to, you can be gay with a husband.
Yeah.
Like that's also possible.
Right.
What are you, gay?
Unbelievable. Very bold and to the point.
I mean, this was the rodeo committee, right?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Yeah. Listen, hey, that you get to a certain point in life, you don't have to worry about that stuff anymore. A question. Do you prefer moist or lean brisket? Does anyone like lean brisket?
Yeah.
It's like dry, right? Isn't that the whole point? Brisket supposed to be absurdly moist?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what are we talking about here? No, I'm not that much of a
fitness
freak.
Or maybe they're just like, yeah, it's just, I think the deal is there's less fat, and so there's less juices.
Yeah, I want, when I'm having brisket, I don't care what happens later, you know?
Exactly, like... There's some restaurants where I actually don't think they should even put a healthy option on the menu, or like be like, well, if you want to, you know, a little bit less calories, whatever. It's like, hey, I'm having brisket. I made my decision about how my day is going to go before I walked in here.
Some are saying it's not dry if it's quality meat. Okay, sure, okay. But
I'm sure there is a good way to do it.
How many places though? Do good dry brisket. Like it's one thing to have it if a friend's cooking it and they've got some high quality stuff. It's another thing entirely though to go to a restaurant and I mean, unless you've been there before, your expectation is that it's going to be moist. And I like the moist. You can save that if you want as a drop. I like it moist.
I did realize that.
I like it moist. What's wrong with that? Anyway, 713-780-3776 to call. To text on an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. No Joe, just Paul. Sean's behind the glass. More questions to get to. I got them all in a little list. Up next, the 10-minute drill. Quick look around the NFL. This is a great weekend of NFL games. Thursday night was not one of them. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Gallant and George, stay put.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush!
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant and Joe George. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time. Thursday night football was brutal. I only had it on the small TV. Eventually, I changed it off because I watched the post-game of Yankees and Guardians on my small TV. I was watching Nobody Wants This on Netflix last night. It's such a good show. I love it.
Turning on the post game for the Yankees Guardians is such elite hater behavior.
Yeah.
I want to see sad Derek Jeter.
That's
and
what I wanted.
Happy David Ortiz.
Exactly. That's, you know exactly what I was looking for there. Because I didn't see it live. I assumed that the Guardians had lost to the Yankees, but they rallied and they won in really epic fashion. October baseball can be good. This round has been rather disappointing, though, up to what we saw last night. So we'll see if the Guardians can even it tonight. I think the Dodgers are going to end up winning. Anyway, 10-minute drill. Thursday night football. The Broncos beat the Saints 33-10. So many Saints players missing. They never had a chance in this one. Sean Payton has now officially beaten all 32 NFL teams. After the game, Saints running back said, our play is unacceptable. The dome being empty or emptying out. I think I saw some fans leaving in the second quarter. That's unacceptable. I don't blame the fans. It's on us. They come to see us play and perform, and when we don't perform, that's the results you get. But I've never experienced that. And if I was a fan, I'd leave too, because it's not good enough right now. Good comments. I hate it when players are like, why aren't the fans behind us? You don't get undying loyalty from a fan base. You should not get that. If you're not playing well, you should get booed. You are a part of a product. Even if that's a, I guess, thing that you can't say in 2024. It is the truth. You are a city's entertainment. And if the entertainment is not very good, they're going to boo you. So I like that answer from Kamara. Remember when the Saints were 2-0? Clint Kubiak?
Yeah, Clint Kubiak. Maybe hold off on giving him a head coaching job. Maybe.
Much more so than Bobby Sloak, yes. Yes.
Yeah, I think Bobby Sloak has pulled back ahead of Clint Kubiak for next head coach in the NFL.
Couple of fun NFL games this weekend. Texans-Packers on Sunday. I'm not feeling great about the Texans' chances. I don't think they match up well. But in the noon window, you get the Detroit Lions and the Minnesota Vikings. Vikings 5-0, Lions 4-1. Something to keep in mind, Justin Jefferson has more receiving yards in 8 games against the Lions than any receiver has had against any opponent in 8 games. So he's basically their T.Y. Hilton.
Except he's awesome.
Right. T.Y. Hilton, very good. Justin Jefferson, best receiver in the game. Yeah. Lions secondary, not great. Yeah. Also, Sean, this is bad vibes for the Lions. Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery have given themselves a nickname for their running back duo.
Ooh.
The Lions running back coach, when asked about their nicknames, said this: I've been warned that's what they want to be called. So, already, yeah. An indictment on these nicknames. Do you want to hear what the nicknames are?
Yeah, he's already separating himself from this.
And the Lions should. In fact, I don't think the Lions can win a Super Bowl with this.
I don't.
Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery are calling themselves Sonic and Knuckles. Like from Sonic the Hedgehog, the video game.
I'm guessing Gibbs is Sonic and Montgomery is Knuckles. Honestly, Montgomery and Gibbs sounds like if they're going to reboot...
Rizzoli and Isles.
Or like Lethal Weapon or something.
Yeah.
Franklin
and Bash.
It's like a cop show.
TNT, we know drama.
Yeah, Gibbs and Montgomery. Or Montgomery and Gibbs, actually. Flows better. That's not good. I do appreciate that they're trying to go away from the standard Thunder and Lightning. Feels like Thunder and Lightning, well-trotted ground. Let's try to be creative. Let's also try to be a little bit more creative,
yes,
than Sonic and Knuckles. Maybe let's have another rough draft before we.
I agree.
Come out here, and you already know that people are going to go to these games dressed as Sonic or dressed as Knuckles, like, you know, or there's going to be signs with Sonic and Knuckles. So I don't love this. I don't love this.
I hate it. And again, Lions not winning a Super Bowl. Not with someone named Sonic and Knuckles as their running backs. What happens when they get hit? They're going to like go flying up in the air and a bunch of rings are going to pop out?
Oh, yeah. Not good for running backs to...
They can't handle contact.
Yeah, they get hit and then they drop things.
They're done. Two hits and they die.
They're just going to fumble all over the place now. Except instead of rings, it's going to be the ball.
Yep. Terrible. You've also got a rematch of the last Super Bowl. Super Bowl 58. I love that this year's Super Bowl is Super Bowl Licks. L-I-X. I found that out this week.
I just found out 2 seconds ago.
Super Bowl Licks.
Wow. They should have put this one in Vegas.
Yeah.
I guess New Orleans is not that. Yeah. That also works.
So, this has been an interesting week for the 49ers and Chiefs because Kyle Shanahan is saying we can't focus on the last games. And yet, behind the scenes, he's forcing the 49ers to rewatch the film Super Bowl 58. So pick one or the other. Like, pick a lane.
I think this is, I want to motivate the guys using the last game. I don't want to have to answer questions from the media about why can't you beat this crappy Chiefs team.
Yeah.
Because it is like...
But they're not crappy. They're 5-0. They're underwhelming.
Underwhelming 5-0. Underwhelming. That's right. They're crappy to Chiefs standards. But again, they're back-to-back Super Bowl champions. So they're underwhelming. They're still good. But yeah, for Kyle Shanahan, it's a question about Kyle Shanahan's failure.
Yes. And I wouldn't want to answer that either.
No. He should be like, I just want to talk about Texas and Georgia.
So it's a good slate of afternoon games. Sunday night football. Good God. Why did you do this to us? It's Jets and Steelers, right? Oof.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't sound right, but that's
not right.
I think that's what it is.
But that's what it is.
Yes.
Also,
plenty of time to watch the Penguin.
That's true. If you want to watch a foggy London Town game, you got options, mate. Sean sent this to me before the show.
Oh, yeah.
Drake May was asked why English fans should support the Patriots. First off, I think it comes with the name, New England. Yes, but Patriots are literally terrorists who fought for freedom against the English Empire.
I just love that from Drake May. I hope he wasn't joking. I hope he was being serious. Like,
definitely was being serious.
Okay. I want him to kind of be a knucklehead. I want Drake May, because he
has no idea that we used to be a colony of England.
Yeah, I want him just to be like, I don't know, I just throw the football.
I would like that kind of too. I also, more importantly, I want him to be good. That's going to be a brutal game. I mean, Doug Peterson gets fired if they lose this game, but I'm not feeling great about the Patriots right now. They're a mess. Everyone's getting arrested again. This is like early 1990s Patriots football.
Yeah, no, the vibes do not... I mean, honestly, I think, and you probably know this better than me, I think Patriots fans this week, the vibes are good because they saw Drake May play. He was pretty good. He didn't get murdered, which they thought would happen the first time he steps on a field. They thought he would get decapitated. I thought they're being a little dramatic with that, but whatever. But I think the vibes have to be good if you're a Patriots fan. Jags, opposite. That vibe's terrible. If I'm a Jags fan, I'm in borderline rooting to lose so the coach gets fired mode.
Yeah, I think I would be. I think I would be too. I can't believe that of all the coaches, Saleh got fired first. Not.
Yeah, they're
Doug Peterson.
3-3, right? Or they were 3-3 when he got fired.
They were 2-3 when he got fired.
2-3.
Right.
2-3.
All right, it's an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. You can ask me any question. 713-780-3776 is how you call. It's how you text. You can also do it on Twitch at ESPN 975 or on YouTube at ESPN Houston. Junior Broncos asks this. Paul, when was the last time you threw up from drinking? That is a great question. It's only happened to me about 7 times or so, and I like drinking a lot. When was the last time? I got it. It was... There was a Friday in February a couple of months ago where we had a long day, let's just say that, and we had a party at my friend's house, and it was like a ski-themed party. So I was wearing like my ski jumpsuit, and I remember waking up on a couch in that, and the first thing I had to do was just yak. It was bad. February. That was the last
February time. February 2024?
February 2024. That was the last time. Been 6 months.
Yeah.
Doesn't happen often. I'm very fortunate on that front.
I just passed my year anniversary.
Nice.
It was last Labor Day weekend.
Congratulations.
Beer Olympics with college friends.
Oh, no. That's never going to work out well.
No.
He is Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. It is Gallant and George. No Joe, just Paul. 713-780-3776 to call, to text, on an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. Up next, please try to make me feel better about the Texans against the Packers. That's on the table all show long. Your questions on Ask Gallant Anything Friday. And I am stunned by how this person, who clearly does not want to be a villain in the sports world, continues to make herself the biggest villain out there. Stick around.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Hey.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Texans and Packers in Green Bay on Sunday. Texas and Georgia tomorrow. I feel great about Texas against Georgia. We were talking about that game a little bit earlier. Texas a 5-point favorite. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. I'm not into Carson Beck. And Sean was a little mean with Carson Beck. He called him out. He said he's not the most handsome man out there.
Yeah, I just...
He's no Tom Brady.
I just don't want to lose to that guy, you know?
I'm wording it politely. You were a little more mean than that, but hey.
I compared him to a very good athlete in his day. Mm-hmm. The Sean Bradley Monstar from Space Jam.
So mean. He's a college kid. He's just a kid.
Oh, isn't he? He's in his awkward phase. It's he'll grow out of it. He'll grow into his face.
Maybe. Someone texted in. This was a mean one. He's Bizarro Robert Pattinson. Come on.
He is. That's exactly what he looks
it's
like.
It's so mean. That's really not nice. Anyway. So, Angel Reese in the WNBA. Is she trying to make everyone hate her? I really wonder about this sometime. She's going to be a great podcaster someday. And look, she's clearly pretty good at basketball. Not Caitlin Clark. Not really good at layups, but good at rebounding, especially the ones that she misses. I don't know why she said this, but she said this Wednesday on Instagram Live. Quote, "I just hope y'all know the WNBA don't pay my bills at all. I don't even think it pays one of my bills. Literally." Now, WNBA players don't make that much. I think the rookie contract, year one salary is $77,000 or something like that. And I'm sure that's going to increase because you got a new rights deal and there does seem to be more interest in the league. I'm not actually watching these games. But to each their own. I'm not going to tell you to not watch it. You know, I'm just not interested. But she explained that the reason that the WNBA salary doesn't pay her bills at all is because she is paying per month an insane amount. Sean, want to guess what Angel Reese's rent is? This is truly staggering.
Okay, so I know it's going to be a lot. But she does make 70 grand.
She makes $73,439 a year.
I'd say like, just to be a big number, I'll say like, $3,500 a month.
$8,000. A month.
I guess she's in Chicago, so I'm sure it's expensive. Like she's in a nice building there, but that's a lot.
I think she was messing around when she said this. She said, "I'm living beyond my means." Yeah, you think? But, I mean, she does have the NIL deal. I think she got like $2 million from that.
Yeah, obviously. I think she has – I forgot if it's Nike or Adidas or something like that. She has a shoe deal and stuff.
That check I do get here is a bonus, she said at the beginning of the year. Being able to play for, 4 to 5 months and get $75,000 on top of other endorsements that I'm doing, I think it's a plus for me. So she's got Reebok, Good American – Tampax, Miel, Beats by Dre, Hershey's Reese's Pieces.
Oh, that one makes sense.
And she also has a podcast, Unapologetically Angel. So look, she's making money. I don't think she's crying here that she's not, but she's got to know that when she says stuff like this, this is just going to add to the people that hate her, so she can't play the victim whenever people are hating on her. A comment like this, and this is not even her fault, but this is just how the sports media cycle works. It gets isolated, and people are going to come after her for it. And when you combine that with the way that she clearly doesn't like Caitlin Clark, but won't admit that she doesn't like Caitlin Clark, that lends itself to why everyone doesn't like her.
Yes, she, like, bringing up that WNBA players should get paid more, especially right now, like, she would have a good point. Like, that is something that I think people would be like, yeah,
ratings were up.
They're due to get a bump next time they get a rights deal. Yes. But the way she brought it up is in the most, like, basically poor shaming everyone, being like, it doesn't even pay one of my bills. Like, that's the craziest way to bring it up. And it's the, like you said, it's the easiest way to get people not on your side for something that people would normally be on your side for.
People aren't going to add that context unless they know it already, which is that she's making a lot of money as it is. So, yeah, $8,000 a month, she actually can afford it. But at the same time, when you say this, it's going to get isolated. And she's a podcaster. She's going to learn this. People tend to jump on stuff like that. Anyway, we got a lot of victims in the world of sports this week. We truly do. We got Mike Williams. He didn't practice two practices in a row for personal reasons because of Aaron Rodgers throwing him under the bus and trade rumors that came right afterwards. God, the Jets are such a messy organization. Sunday Night Football, can't wait to see more of them. They're playing the Steelers in Sunday Night Football. Did you hear George Pickens? George Pickens seems to have envy of the Detroit Lions situation. He called Amon-Ra St. Brown a slot merchant while on with one of those Speak for Your Pizza shows on Fox.
Schematically is the biggest thing, you know, in football. That's how you get Amon-Ra St. Brown's, you know, slot merchants. You know, that's schematically getting fed the ball.
He's playing a victim card there.
Oh, this guy, he's just a better offense than me. Slot merchant.
Dude, stop throwing temper tantrums in the middle of games and seemingly quitting on your team. I mean, Mike Tomlin has, who per one of Pickens' teammates, is also Osama bin Tomlin. Actual thing that happened this week.
Actual thing Deshaun Elliott tweeted.
Steelers have no comment on the matter. But George Pickens, dude. Reel it in, man.
Yeah. Pickens is not good enough to be behaving the way he behaves.
It's weird how many receivers the Steelers have had who are delusional to crazy. I mean, they had Chase Claypool not too long ago. Remember when Chase Claypool said he was the third best receiver in the league? I don't even know if he's in the league anymore.
I don't know if he is either.
Right. Off the top of my head, I don't know where he is.
He got traded to the Dolphins.
Right.
And he just kind of disappeared.
So, you had obviously Antonio Brown.
He was good enough to make it worth it.
Right. I think Mike Wallace was a little bit dramatic for a little bit of time too.
Yeah.
Santonio Holmes' big problem was things got leaked of him online.
Yeah. Emmanuel Sanders.
Plaxico Burress, but his issues were after the Steelers. Right, like Emmanuel Sanders. There's been a lot of guys there. A lot of talented guys, but all a little bit crazy. And George Pickens, it feels like he's challenging Antonio Brown seriously right now.
Deontay Johnson asked to get traded last year.
Yeah.
They do have a run. And again, the biggest thing is like, hey, Antonio Brown could get away with this. Mm-hmm. You, George Pickens, cannot get away with talking the way you're talking.
Do you think Travis Hunter's playing the victim here? I saw this quote about the Heisman race. He's on with RG3 and somebody else on some sort of studio show. And this is Travis Hunter making his case that he deserves the Heisman over Boise State running back. What's his name again? Ashton Janti?
Ashton Janti.
Ashton Janti. The last name terrifies me. I don't know why. Here is Travis Hunter making his case for the Heisman.
I mean, y'all see Ashton Janti, but it's not like we haven't seen a running back that's good.
All
right. We haven't seen a player that plays both ways, and I'm going to keep saying that. It's like he have 95 carries?
Yeah.
For a thousand
yards. Yards, yeah.
If I had 95 catches, how much yards you think I have?
okay. That's a good point.
I'm trying to tell him, like, if I had 95 targets on defense, what you think I'll have?
Right.
Uh-huh. If I had 95 catches on offense, what you think I'll have? So I try to tell you, like, he got double the touches I got on the offensive side of the ball, and I still have defensive stats that's still crazy, and we only in – week six.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not going to argue about it.
You're not going to argue about it? You just did. Receivers are crazy people. They really are.
He's a cornerback, too. He's a corner and a receiver.
So a little bit of both. Oh, anyway, it's Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. You can join on Twitch at ESPN 975 on YouTube as well at ESPN Houston. It's an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. You can ask me any question. I'll work it into the show. Paul, are you a basic B that does PSLs? And when I first saw that, I was like, personal seat licenses? And then I was like, oh, no, pumpkin spice lattes.
I also thought personal seat license.
Right. I was like, oh, I don't have that kind of money, guys. Yeah. Joe George, middle management Joe might, because he's got season tickets. But the fact that I don't know what a PSL is right off the shoot should tell you all that you need to know. It's not like I would turn my nose up at them, but I don't really like the latte.
Yeah.
The milk addition to it. I like pumpkin spice coffee. I like pumpkin spice bread. That's really good.
Pumpkin spice Oreos.
Oh, my God.
I remember those last year.
Damn, you reminded me. Damn it. Now I'm going to get some at the store. For those who don't know, I really love these special seasonal Oreos that they have, and I'll eat them on my way out of the store, and I almost always end up puking because I have that. Like, I don't puke from drinking, but I do puke from eating a box of Oreos in a parking lot outside of an HEB.
And last year, right? Last year you brought them to the station in a get this out of my house. I will keep eating them.
Yeah.
The most addicting thing.
And I still ate all of them.
Yeah, well, I had a couple and I was like, yeah, they're all right. Like, they're not. And you really wanted me to be like, I get it. These are insane. I was like, yeah, they're fine. I wouldn't say no to them. And then, yes, after the show, you ended up just having them anyway.
I can't help it. That's my biggest addiction. They are truly like crack to me. They're the cinnamon bun kind. There's the gingerbread kind. It's basically the same as cinnamon bun. It's so good. Oh, God, now I'm getting hungry. I'm eating my little turkey burger quinoa thing here, and I just want a cookie. That's all I want. Give me your cookie. 713-780-3776 to call to text. We'll keep on working your Ask a Lot Anything questions in. I got a bad feeling about Texans and Packers on Sunday. You'll hear why next. Stay put.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.